Today's daf is your gimel. We're going to start at the fourth line. Ein truma achar truma. Okay, you wonder if the Mishnah is actually trying to joke around with, right, the ein truma achar truma, the ein tmuha oset tmuha. In general, you feel like in general this Mishnah, I didn't really talk about it yesterday, but it's clearly got a very sifruti literary structure, you know. Aim this elefi cheshbon. Aim this elefi cheshbon. Elefi cheshbon. And then aim this, you know, and then it goes from that to ein tmura achar tmura, and ein tmura achar tmura, and ein tmura achar tmura. Anyway. Okay. Ein tmura achar tmura. So continuing with the theme of yesterday, and this will be the last one that we have like this, matnitim mani. Who does the Mishnah match? And we're going to see it only matches one opinion. In this case, it's a three-way machloket. Rabbi Akiva hi. So what does this mean? It means if somebody takes truma and someone takes truma after them, the second truma is not effective. Or if you were to take, truth is I'm already kind of thinking of the Mishnah that they're quoting, but if a person was to take truma twice, the second truma would not be effective. So now they're going to bring a Mishnah that talks about shutafim, partnership. One background piece you have to know is we learned before that if somebody takes truma without the knowledge of the owner, then it's not truma. Okay, the owner has to know that you're doing it, so or approve of it. So ditnana shutafim shetarmu zeachar zeh. Let's say you have partners and they each took truma from the same stuff, one after the other. Okay, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, truma shnehem truma. Each one, so to speak, took truma on their part since they're partners. So one took truma on his part, one took truma on his part, and it's effective. Rabbi Akiva Omer, ein truma shnehem truma. You can't have two people taking truma on the same thing. So there's two ways to understand this line, okay? Ein truma shnehem truma could mean you can't have two people do it, so only one is effective, which would then really match what we said, which is once one person takes truma, another person can't take truma also, so therefore the second person's truma is not effective. The other way to read it is, ein truma shnehem truma means neither of them is valid, and why is that? That goes back to what I said about
that the other didn't know.
Each, right, not only, right, so I think you could do it, let me just clarify, I think you could do it even if they don't know, but the question is if they're against you doing it. And in this case, since each one took truma on their own, it showed that they didn't want the truma that the other person took. So it basically shows it was not midah balabayit. So that's Rabbi Akiva, where, again, certainly according to the first interpretation, it matches our Mishnah, which is saying, ein truma achar truma, you can't take truma twice on the same thing. And either neither is effective in this case, or, you know, depending on how you understand it, that could be for a different reason, but they can't both take truma on the same thing. V'chachamim omrim, im taram harishon kishi'ur, ein truma tashini truma. V'im lo taram kishi'ur truma tashini truma. What does this mean? This means it depends. It depends on how much truma he separated. If the first person separated the right amount, then, okay, we'll talk in a minute what the right amount is. It's a bit of confusion here. But if the first person separated the shiur of truma and then the second person came, then it's not effective. But if he didn't take a shiur, then the second one's truma is effective because he didn't take enough. So when the second one takes truma, it basically has, you could say it has where to be chal. You know, there's room for it to go somewhere. Now, what does it mean he didn't take enough? If you remember, truma has three shiurim. Ayin tova, like if you're generous. Ayin ra'a, if you're stingy. And ayin benonit. So ayin ra'a is 1/60. Ayin benonit is 1/50. So let's say the guy, so some people say it means if he took 1/50, that's the shiur. So anything less than that, let's say he did ayin ra'a, which really he fulfilled truma, but because it was ayin ra'a and the partner wanted to give ayin tova yoter, so that would be a case where it would be. Some people say, no. It means if he didn't give the minimum, if he didn't give 1/60, then, you know, we're talking about. Once he gives 1/60 and he's yotze, then chachamim say it's not effective anymore. So there's a debate about how to understand that. Okay, now we get to ein tmura oset tmura. So in this case, we don't have a whose opinion is this, because everyone agrees. What's the reason why a tmura can't make another tmura? Amarkra utmurato velo tmura tmurato. Notice it says in the pasuk, hu utmurato, it's tmura. So what do we mean by tmurato? Only it's tmura, but not multiple tmurot, meaning multiple substitutions, right? If you would substitute the substitute and et cetera, and there and from there. Okay? This and the next halacha we all talked about already the other day, that it's kind of like once it's right there, even though we said it gets kedusha, it's weakened along the way, and it's not strong enough to make its own a substitute can't create its own substitution. Ve'ein havlad oseh tmura, and also the offspring of a sanctified animal can't make tmura. Damakra, who v'lo vlad. Okay, now we're focusing on the it itself, who, and not a tmura, not a vlad. Okay, so the offspring of a sanctified animal, only the sanctified animal itself, the offspring, it's true, it has kedusha to it, but its kedusha is not as strong, and therefore it can't affect substitution. Rabbi Yehuda, though, disagrees in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Havalado set Mura. What's his proof? We already saw this. Damarkra Yehiye. It says Yekadosh, right? Hu Tmurato Yekadosh. So what do we say? Yekodesh. Yehiye is an extra word. What does it come to do? To include the Vlad. Okay, even a Vlad, not just the sanctified animal itself. The Rabbanan, what are Rabbanan going to say? L'rabot, what do they do with Yehiye if it doesn't include the Vlad? Because Rabbanan think the Vlad can't affect Tmura. L'rabot shogei kemezid. It's to teach you your chayiv in Tmura even if you do it by accident. Okay? You can be chayiv in any case. Okay, new Mishnah. Ha'ofot v'hamilachot. We're now going to have all sorts of exceptions to the rule, and we're going to have different drashot, different approaches as to how we know that these are exceptions to the rule. Ha'ofot v'hamilachot, bird offerings and mincha offerings, right? Meal offerings that have flour and usually oil and water. Those offerings, ein osim tmua, also can't affect substitution. This is very simple. Shelo ne'amar ela behema. It says behema in the pasuk, right? That was how the pasuk started. It said or in the middle actually, v'im hamer yamir behema bebehema. Truth is, it did start that way because if you look, the pasuk before the tmura pasuk, which introduces it, says v'im behema sheyakrivu mimenu korban laHashem. Remember these words because we're going to get back to the korban laHashem. If you're going to make a sacrifice from an animal. And then it says, "Kol asher yitei mimenu laHashem yeh kodesh." Right, everything you get from it to God will be kodesh. Lo yachlifenu. Right, you can't replace it. You can't switch it, etc. So, what do you see here? It has to be a behema. Ofot minachot are on the outs. Hatzibur vahashutafin eino sin tmura. If you have a joint korba communal offering or a joint offering owned by a few people or two people or more, also you can't affect substitution. Shenemar. Here's our first proof for this. We're going to see another proof later. Lo yachlifenu v'lo yamir. What do you see there? It's written in singular form, right? You can't replace it. You can't substitute it. Yachid oseh tmura ve'ein hatzibur v'hashutafin osim tmura. Therefore, it's only an issue for an individual. Kodshei bedek habayit ein osim tmura. Okay, note the structure here. The first one we had ofot u'minachot. Learn from the word behema. The second one we had tzibur and shutafim. Learned from the pasuk lo yachlifenu v'lo yamir. This one we just have the halacha. We don't have a pasuk. So what's this? If you have items sanctified for the temple, for use in the temple, they don't affect tmura. Okay, no substitution. It's only for kodshei mizbeach. Comes Rabbi Shimon. Now it's interesting. Rabbi Shimon doesn't really disagree, but he learns out these laws from a different place. Some of them, anyway. The ofot u'minachot we're going to already ignore for now. We're done with that. Everybody agrees behema excludes ofot and minachot. But now we're going to have a debate about the other ones. So, again, not all of them, because the last one, we didn't actually have a reason. So now Rabbi Shimon's going to give a reason. But the reason is going to also include the tzibur and the shutafim, which we already had a pasuk for, but now Rabbi Shimon's going to learn it from somewhere else. Before I read Rabbi Shimon, I just want to remind you, when we talked about the very beginning of the Masechet, if you remember, we said that tmura appears in two verses in the Torah. What, they're both in Vayikra Kaf Zayin. One is the psukim that we've been learning all along. And the other is toward the end of the parak, it talks about Maaser Behema. And when it talks about Maaser Behema, it says the same thing. First it says, Lo yivaker ben tov l'ra. You can't choose. If you remember, you're not allowed to choose which animal comes out, right? Remember the animal Maaser, what happens? Every year you put your animals in the pen, and at the end of the year, or a few times a year, you would do it, and you start counting. And the 10th one, every 10th you get to, you're supposed to sacrifice in the Beit HaMikdash. If it gets a blemish, then you're allowed to slaughter it anywhere you want and eat it. But until it gets blemished, if you remember, there was also this halacha that if your animal is blemished to begin with, then he doesn't count in Maaser B'Hem. If you remember, we had that case where they recommended that he blemish all his animals and then he'd be patur from Maaser B'Hem of Bichlal. So, okay, so remember that also. It's going to come up today about blemished animals don't get counted in the count. So now, what does Rabbi Shimon say? So there it says, lo yivaker ben tov l'ra, v'lo yimirenu. And then it says, oh, and you can't substitute anything in place of it. V'im hamer yimirenu. And if he did, v'hayahu t'morato yekodesh lo yigael. Sounds very familiar, right? It does add the words lo yigael. It can't be redeemed. But otherwise, it basically says the exact same thing that we already saw. Now, why would you think, if all sacrifice, Maaser B'Hem is also a sacrifice, why would it be different than anything else? Why would you need to single it out? So comes Rabbi Shimon and he says, "V'hare maaser bechlal haya." It was part of the klal of general animal sacrifices. V'lama yatsa? Why did it separate it out and specify? Lomar lecha, ma maaser korban yachid yatsu korbanot tzibur, u'ma maaser korban mizbeach yatsu korbanot berek habayit. Just like maaser is an individual obligation, therefore tmura doesn't relate in general to. It's basically saying. The example of Maaser came to teach about the whole klal. That whatever is true for Maaser is going to be true for all the others, and therefore, only when Maaser details are there, are you going to have a din of Tmura, like Yachi versus Tzibur, and Mizbeach versus Bedek HaBayit, okay? Because Maaser B'Hem, you don't bring to the Bedek HaBayit, you sacrifice it. Yeah.
So what would you do about a bird that, like, died or disappeared? Do you understand you can't do it?
No. Okay, so let's clarify. There's a difference between, there's two types of substitutions. One is forbidden and one is permitted. If you lose your animal, you lose your bird, you can replace it. That's called replacement. That's not substitution. Mm-hmm. That's saying, oh, okay, I lost my animal, bring a different animal in its place. Bring a different bird, bring a different...
Didn't you hekdesh the first bird?
Yeah, but your bird got lost. Mm-hmm. Then we have the whole thing. What happens when you find that bird? Mm-hmm. What do you do with it? You know, you have to sacrifice it. We talked about in the Asham and Chatak case. What do you do with it? Well, you bring it as a korban ola. We're going to get back to that case today also. So it's good you're reminding us of it. That's just replacing. A ball of animal gets a moom. You redeem it. That's all allowed. That's basically, you know, either redeeming it if it's a ball of moom or replacing it if it got lost. But this is when you say, I have this animal I designated, it's perfectly fine, or maybe it's not a great animal, I want to take something better, or I want to take something worse, or I change my mind. That's just changing your mind and saying, I want to put a different animal in its place. That's not allowed. Okay? So that, of course, with an oaf or a mincha, you lose something, then you replace it. That's fine. So now we start off with a braita in the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan. Yechol yihu kodshei berek habayit osim tmua. You might have thought Kodshei Bedek HaBayit could do Tmura. Now, where do we learn so far that Bedek HaBayit can't do Tmura? According to Rabbi Shimon, we learned it from Maaser. Now we're going to have a different way to learn it. Talmud Lomar, Korban. Notice it says in the Pasuk we read in Be'emash, Yekrivu Mumenu Korban LaHashem, before it talks about Tmura. It says Korban, right? Mishenikru Korban. Yatsa Kodshei Bedek HaBayit, Shalonikru Korban. Korban always means, maybe not always, always means animal sacrifice. So obviously it means animal sacrifice. So, velo, is that true? Didn't we just learn this a few days ago that korban could mean bedek habayit? Where so? Vahatanya, they quote in a braita. E korban, okay, now, the context of this braita is shchutei chutz, sacrificing something that's supposed to be sacrificed to the Beit HaMikdash, and you sacrifice it outside the Beit HaMikdash. So in the pasuk there, it uses the word korban. So it says, Shomani, afilu kodshei bedek habayit. You might have thought, maybe if I take something that's sanctified bedek habayit and I sacrifice it or do something with it outside the Beit HaMikdash, right? Oh, what would you do? Okay. It's shchutei chutz yirchayim for. So let's say you had an animal that was sanctified for bedek habayit. How could you possibly have an animal sanctified for bedek habayit? Didn't we say any animal you sanctify even for bedek habayit becomes, I'm just doing review, becomes... Automatically for the Mizbeach. So what animal would be the Bedek HaBayit? If it was blemished. If it's blemished, then it automatically goes to Bedek HaBayit. Just its value is sanctified. So when I see Korban, Shomayani Afilu Kodshei Bedek HaBayit, meaning if I took an animal that was Kodesh, Bedek HaBayit, because it was blemished, and now before I redeem it, what do? I slaughter it outside the mikdash. Maybe I'm chayav shchutei chutz. Because why? Shenikru korban. How do we know that Bet HaKabayit is called korban? Kinyan shenemar v'nekrevet korban Hashem v'chulei. That was the pasuk in the battle with the Midianim. They conquered all this stuff, right? They took all the booty from the war. And what they do with it says, v'nekrevet korban Hashem. And then it starts to say, the jewelry and the all the stuff. So it's obvious now that korban Hashem could mean Bet HaKabayit. You can see from the Braita that they learn from this pasuk that it means Bet HaKabayit. So now, just to finish up the Braita, it says, so you might have thought it's Chayav Shchutei Chutz, Tamud Lamar, Ve'al Petach HaMo'ed Lo Avio. But then it says, why are you Chayav? Because you didn't bring it to Petach HaMo'ed. Therefore, it means, Kol HaBa'al Petach HaMo'ed, Chayavin Alav Mishum Shchutei Chutz. V'chol She'ino Ba'al Petach HaMo'ed, En Chayavin Alav Mishum Shchutei Chutz. You're not going to be Chayav if you couldn't have potentially brought it to Ol Moed, and this animal that was blemished, you couldn't have brought to Ol Moed. So obviously, they're not chayiv in Shchutei Chutz, because of the pasuk it says, you didn't bring it to Ol Moed. Okay, so we excluded it. The main point here, though, is that, what do you see here? Alma ikru korban. This is a good example of when the Gemara realized it got off track a little, and it's reminding you. Okay, therefore, it's called a korban. So how could we say in this Braita that the reason you learn that Bet HaKabayit is excluded is from the word korban? Amar Rabbi Chanina lo kashya ha Rabbi Shimon ha Rabbanan. Ah. Now we go back to our Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon learned out the exclusion of Bet HaKabayit from Maser. So why did he learn it from Maser? Because he couldn't learn it from korban because he held like that Braita. But the Tanakhama just doesn't hold like that Braita and doesn't think that korban could mean Bet HaKabayit. Sounds very nice, except the Gemara is going to continue to say, but wait, you missed the point here. The Haktiv, but forget about a Braita, fine. You could say the Tanakhama maybe doesn't hold by that Braita. But it says on the Pasuk, V'anekrevet korban Hashem. So you can't ignore the Pasuk. The Pasuk calls korban Hashem. He gives that terminology for things that were Bet HaKabayit and not for only sacrifices. So, what does he say? We saw this answer the other day also. Korban Hashem ikre, korban la Hashem lo ikre. There's a difference between korban Hashem could mean Bet HaKabayit, korban le Hashem, that goes to God, must mean something that goes on the Mizbeach. And our pasuk uses the term korban la Hashem. The pasuk about the jewelry uses korban Hashem, and therefore they're two different things. Okay, and that's how we resolve it. So now again, we have two different drashot now. This, we filled in the blank of the Bet HaKabayit, what was missing. We didn't have where Chachamim learned it from. They learned it from the word korban. Okay? Korban Hashem means sacrifice and not Bet HaKabayit. And Rabbi Shimon, who thinks korban Hashem could be, korban la Hashem could be Bet HaKabayit, learns it out from Maser. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan, another bright. Lo yivaker ben tov l'ra. Now we're quoting the pasuk by Maser Behema. Below Yimirenu. Lama Neymar? Why do you need this? Lo Yimirenu. Halo Kfar Neymar? Lo Yachlifenu. Lo Yamiro Toto Bira. We already learned that you can't substitute from the beginning of the parak. Lefisha Neymar? Lo Yachlifenu. Lo Yamiro Toto. Mashma Korban Yachi, Korban Sibur, Korban Mizbeh, Korban Bet HaKabayit. If you just had the first pasuk where it says you can't substitute, you might have thought, it applies across the board. Individual korbanot, communal korbanot, for the mizbeach, for the Bet HaKabayit, it would include anything. Talmud lomar, lo yivaker. That's why you have the pasuk in Maaser to say, not the case. Okay, now, it's not so clear how we learn from the pasuk in Maaser, from this Braita. We know already because we already saw Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah. And here Rabbi Shimon's going to appear with minor variations. I'm a Rabbi Shimon. Bahare, he's explaining the drasha and the Braita. V'hare ma'asir b'chlal haya ma'asir was part of the general rule of Tamura because it was a korban. V'lama yatza, why did they specify by ma'asir behema the same thing we already had? Lomar lecha ma ma'asir korban yachid b'korban mizbeach v'davar sheba b'chova. Okay, this is why I said minor variation. He's adding another thing. Okay, so ma'asir, what's unique about it? It's an individual that we already had, so we're going to exclude communal. It's a korban for the mizbeach, the altar, that's going to exclude Bet HaKabayit, and it's chovah, it's obligatory. That's going to exclude voluntary offerings. Later we're going to have to see exactly which voluntary offerings does it exclude. V'davar she'eino b'shutafut. Number four, anything that's with a partner. Now there, it's interesting, they view this separately. We put that with the yachid, right? There's yachid tzibur, and there's also yachid versus shutafim. Okay. Av kol korban yachid, v'korban mizbeach, v'davar sheba b'chova, v'davar she'eino ba b'shutafut. Okay, therefore, we're going to say any kind of tamura is only effective if it has all those same criteria as the maser. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe has a different drasha. Okay, he doesn't darshan like Rabbi Shimon from the maser. Why does he say it appears by maser? Lama yatzat maser me'ata lidon b'tmurat shmo u'b'tmurat gufo. Now we're going to introduce a new concept. Tmurat shmo. What's tmurat shmo? If you remember, when we learned about maser at the end in Masechet Bechorah, what did we learn? If you miscount, remember we had all these issues about miscounting. If you count the 9th as the 10th, that's Kodesh. And if you count the 11th as the 10th, that's also Kodesh. But since you already passed the 10th, right, the 11th can't be brought as a Maaser Behemoth sacrifice. Remember, what do you do with it? It's sacrificed to Shlamim. Remember, it gets sacrificed as a Korban Shlamim. Tmurat Shmo is the term they use to, in this Gemara, we didn't actually use the term as far as I remember in Bechorah when we learned about it. But Tmurat Shmo means misplacing, like substituting it by name. Okay, you called the 10th, you called the 11th one 10th. That's basically a type of substitution. You're basically substituting it for the 10th, right? Because you also, remember, the 10th is also sanctified. You have to bring this as a Korban Shlamim. Okay, so that's Tmurat Shmo. So now they say it's to teach you that Maser has two different types of Tmurat. And we're going to learn that they're different. There's Tmurat Shmo and there's Tmurat Gufo. So why did it come to tell you, Lomar Lacha, Tmurat Shmo Kreva, Tmurat Gufo Eina Kreva. Here are differences between them. Tmurat Shmo gets sacrificed, but the Tmura of Maaser, if you do an actual Tmura, a real substitution, say, oh, this is my Maaser Behemoth, well, I don't really want it to be, I'm going to take a different one. You don't sacrifice it. Whereas Tmurat Shmo gets sacrificed as a Korban Shlamim.
Can I stop you for a second? I don't understand why this is an issue, because if you're counting your cattle, or your sheep, or whatever you're counting, then it has to be the 10th, and there's no question of whether you want to you can't choose the better one or the worst one.
Yeah.
So choosing the Tovah or the Ra is totally
inefficient. No, but here what happened was you miscounted. You're talking about Tmura or Tmurat Shmo? You're talking about the miscounting or a substitution?
Substitution.
Substitution is just no. You know it's the 10th.
You don't have a choice.
You don't have a choice ever. You already say, in all the cases of Tmura, you don't have a choice. The animal you sanctified is sanctified. So you took your 10th, it's sanctified. But you decide you don't want that one, you don't want that 10th one that you counted to be the 10th, so you substitute it. Of course not, you're not allowed to do that. Okay. That's classic Tmura.
But also in Maaser, you're not allowed to. So then why is that even brought into the equation?
What do you mean, also a maser?
Maser behemot.
Yeah.
Maser.
No, this is produce. Once you've sanctified it. Maser.
Produce, I can see you say, I'd rather take the worst kind than the better kind. But in animals, it has to be the 10th.
Maser also, you can't
day.
Take the worst. Remember, we learned that.
Right.
So
but
it's the same thing.
The possibility exists. With animals, the possibility doesn't even exist because they're going through a narrow gate.
Right.
Number 10 is number 10, and there's
right.
no leeway. Same.
No, so this case is you already have your 10th. It already came out. It's already counted as number 10. You just, after the fact, say, I want to switch this for another, just like in the case of animal sacrifice. The whole thing of Tmura seems impossible. Because
the Torah brought it up. It
wasn't
like the Torah brought it up. So it's not like they're bringing
right.
up the Torah.
Right. It's a good question. Someone actually wrote to me yesterday about this and about saying, you know, actually wrote, you know, you can imagine a father in the temple with his son, you know, before his bar mitzvah, trying to explain to him, you know, all the basic laws, you know, instead of like teaching him mincha, you know, and how to daven, it was like teaching him, you know, the animal you take is the animal you take, and that's it. You know, you can't switch it. You're stuck once you have that. I think it's really talking about the, you know, and he was trying to say, this must have been purely theoretical, and it's just one of those good examples that the rabbi's really enjoying to have
right.
the back and forth of. But you know, you wonder. It's a little bit like Nadav and Aviu brought an Esh Zarah. You know, there's such fervor when it comes to the Ben HaMikdash, and people get very particular about their stuff, about things, and And maybe people, you know, change their minds all the time, right? You took this animal. You know what? I'll just take a different animal instead. Actually, to a certain extent, it doesn't sound so crazy.
It teaches you to be very careful when you choose the first one.
Exactly. Yeah. It goes back to, like, nidarim, and you'll be careful what you say, be careful what you promise. It's all that same thing. You committed that animal. Don't commit until you know for sure what you want, because once it's done, there's nothing you can do about it. Now, then maybe, Naomi, your point is well taken, which is, by Maser, it's not like you chose and you changed your mind about it. In Maser, you don't have a choice. It's whatever 10th one came out, is it. Maybe someone could come later. It's less likely tomorrow would happen there, I would think, because if you designated it, you might think, okay, I said that, but I changed my mind. You know, let's say you commit to some tzedaka, okay? You say, I'm going to give money to tzedaka, and then you decide, you know what, I found a better charity. I'd rather put my money there. It's the same kind of thing. Are you allowed to just switch like that? Or you made a commitment? How serious is your commitment? It's the same type of thing. Whereas you're right that by Maser, really, it's less likely, because it's not like you had a choice about which animal was going to be Maser. Also by Bechor, it's the same type of thing. Bechor is Bechor. It's not like something you designated. So those maybe are in a bit of a different category when it comes to the Tamura, where the others are real Tamura. You designate it, you change your mind, you want something else, so tough luck. Okay, so back to our flow here. What happened? Rebbe said, Maser came to teach you about this other halacha. In other words, because of Tamurat Shmo, this other halacha, and this Tamurat Gufo, so they wanted to teach you that there's differences between them. Okay, Tmurat Shmo is Kreva, and Tmurat Gufo is Ena Kreva. If you have a regular Tmura, you don't sacrifice it, but if you took the 11th and called a 10th, you would. Tmurat Shmo Nigelet, Tmurat Gufo Ena Nigelet. A Tmura, the 11th, you can redeem, but Tmurat Gufo is Ena Nigelet. You cannot redeem it. That's because we saw in the Pasuk, it said, Velo Yigael. Tmurat Gufo Chala Al Davar HaRa'oi Va'al Davar She'eno Ra'oi. When you count that 11th, I'm sorry, not that. Here, let's keep reading. Utmurat Shmo Eina Chala Ela Al Davar HaRa'oi Bovav. Remember we said that you can't do Maser Behema. If you have a Balmum, it's Patur from going into the pen. You don't have to count it. So if you counted the 11th and it was a blemished animal, it's irrelevant. It's not Maser. Because even if you counted the 11th animal as 10, since it wasn't Ra'oi to be Masered, so it's not valid. But when it comes to Tmurat Gufo, what did we learn? Substitution. Even if you substitute a blemished animal in place of a good animal, it's still that was Tov Rav Rav Betov, right? Even if you did that, it's still effective. Okay, so those are differences between it. Now, what Rebbe's really saying is like this. Tmurat Shmo, we don't learn from the Pasuk Lo Yechlifenu V'lo Yamir. Where do we learn it from? It says, V'chol Ma'aser Bakar V'tzon. V'chol comes to include things that weren't necessarily there. All of them. All means even the 11th that you called 10. That's where we learn it from. So now, why does the Pasuk say the Din of Tmura? So the logic is like this. He doesn't actually spell this out, but this is what they explain according to his opinion, and it's clear from the continuation that that's what he meant to say. That since there's a concept of Tmurat Shmo by Maser Behema, you might have thought that regular dinim of Tmura don't apply. Okay, that's why they set up the differences. They said there's Tmurat Shmo, that's different from Tmurat Gufo. So if we hadn't had a special pasuk teaching about Tmura by Maser Behema, you might have thought it has its own type of Tmura, Tmurat Gufo, and Tmurat Shmo, the 11th calling it 10. It doesn't have regular laws of Tmura. That's why it needed to specifically tell you it also has regular laws of substitution. Okay? So now the Gemara questions that logic and says, Amre, Mishum de Rabbe Rachmana de Ile Tmurat Shmo, Igrue Igra, because we added an additional halacha to Maser called Tmurat Shmo. You think then we're going to take away Tmurat Gufo? Like, what does one have to do with the other? Right? I mean, they're called similar things, but also, not only, it's funny to say they're called similar things. We didn't actually call it Tmurat Shmo until we got to Masechet Tmura and we're comparing it to Tmura. It's not like that was what it was obviously called. See, but that's also another good question here. But they're saying, because they added this additional halacha, which, by the way, it's not like it was even added explicitly in the Pasuk. It was all just a drasha from the word Vichol. So what they're saying is, based on this drasha from the word Vichol, which includes this, that's, you would have thought that they were taking away the din of Tmura? They say, yeah, in fact, yes. Why? Tamrina, my de rabbe, rabbe, my de lo rabbe, lo rabbe. because we have this thing that we know that if it specifies something, it specifies. What it didn't specify, it didn't specify. So maybe it would only have what it specified, which was Tumurat Shmo, but not what it didn't specify. So then they say, where'd you get that logic from? I've never heard that before. You know, why? Where'd you come up with this thing? So I'm Rav Huna, b'Rei Rav Yehoshua, mishum dahave davar habalidon b'davar chadash, ve'ein bo ela chidusho b'vad. When you have some new halacha, this is one of the midot shatoran idreshe b'hem. It's actually not some new thing that somebody made up. He said, no. In fact, this is what it is. It's when the Torah comes to teach you something new. That teaches you only what's new you have, and you can't necessarily learn from there, learn from other things to there, because it's already got something unique about it. We might just judge it as unique entirely. Okay? So that's why they say, so again, where did this come from? This was to say, according to Rebbe, the Maaser is not coming to teach you not Tzibur, not Mizbeach, and not Nidava, voluntary offerings. No, it's coming to teach you that the regular laws of Tmura apply. In case you would have thought they didn't, since you already have this unique law of Tmurat Shmo, maybe Tmurat Gufo wouldn't apply. That's why it had to teach it specifically by Maaser. So two approaches. Amar le Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak le Rava. So now we're going to have to deal with this Davar Haba b'Nidava. Le Rabbi Shimon, so Nachman bar Yitzchak says to Rava, Le Rabbi Shimon d'amar Davar Haba b'Chova, Olat Chova hu da'av d'tmura. Ha olat nidava lo? Is that to say that an obligatory Ola offering would have tmura, but a voluntary Ola offering wouldn't? So Amar Lei, olat nidava nami. No, in fact, even a voluntary Ola offering, kevan dekabla alei avda tmura. Since you designated the animal, in other words, it seems weird. Why all of a sudden, just because I voluntarily offered this animal, would it not have a din of tmura? No, it would. So, what was he saying when he said davar haba b'chova only? If it included even nidavot, what type of nidava was he coming to exclude, Rabbi Shimon? V'lo nitzracha ela la'ola haba'a min hamotarot. He needed it for that case that we talked about, as Shari mentioned earlier, the case when the animal disappears that I designated, and then I find it later after I've already sacrificed the new animal in its stead. Then what happens? That animal has to be brought as a korban ola on the mizbeach. So what do you see? That ola doesn't have tmura. Okay? That's what he's going to say. So now they say, wait, my kasavar, what did he hold like when he said this? I kasavar, there's a machloket about this ola haba min amotarot. Is it a korban tzibur or a korban yachid? So, I kasavar lekemanda amar motarot lenidvat tzibur azle, that they go to the communal offerings. Remember we said they go to the ketz ha-mizbeach, that when the mizbeach has nothing going on, they want to always have sacrifices going. That would be a communal offering. If it goes to a communal offering, pshita delav de tmura, you wouldn't need to say it doesn't do tmura. You would know it doesn't do tmura, not because it's a voluntary offering, but because it's a tzibur, it's a communal offering. Ha ein tmura but tzibur. So they say it must be Ela Rabbi Shimon Svirale Kemanda Amar Motrot Lenidvat Yachid Azle. Okay, it must be he holds that they were individual offerings, and that's why he needed to make a separate exception to the rule for this and say this also doesn't need Tmura, because otherwise you would have thought it did. So now they say, wait, but that doesn't make sense because, okay, now remember, we're trying to explain Rabbi Shimon. Okay, we have to remember how this worked here. Rabbi Shimon said, Davar Haba Chova, but not nidava, right? Can do tmura. What's this coming to talk about? The Rava said it must be coming to talk about the case of ola of the motarot, right? Motarot, ola haba min motarot, not a regular korban ola, because they assume Rabbi Shimon would agree that a regular individual korban ola would have a voluntary offering, would have a din of tmura to it. So now, in order to explain that, we had to say that Rabbi Shimon holds, when it comes to Ola Abam and Amotarot, that it's an individual offering. So, Ela Rabbi Shimon, Man Shamat Lehai Svara, but wait, who's the one who holds that Nidvat Tzibur is Yachid? Okay, that the Ola Abam and Amotarot would be Nidvat Yachid. Hai Svara, Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, that holds like Rabbi Eliezer. Now, Ha Shamina Lebehedya, Da'av Da'tmura. And Rabbi Eliezer himself said that this Ola Haba Min HaMotarot, he said two things. Number one, it's a Korban Yachid. Number two, there is a Din of Tmura. So if you want to say that Rabbi Shimon holds like him, how could he hold like him and say it's a Yachid? But then he'd also have to hold like him and say that it needs, that it does have a law of Tmura. And what was the whole thing? Rabbi was trying to explain that according to Rabbi Shimon, who said it's excluding Nidava, it's excluding the Ola Haba Min HaMotarot. And we said it must be, it's a Korban Yachid, otherwise there's no reason to say it. So how could it be if the one who says that also says it is, there is a Din of Tmura by it? And we were trying to find that it's an exception to the rule. So they say, Hai Sfar Rabbi Lezer, and Hashamina Behed Yadav de Tmura. Where do we see this? Jitanya. Ola Haba Min HaMotarot, Oset Tmura, Divrei Rabbi Lezer. He specifically says it does do Tmura. And Rabbi so what do we answer? Very simple answer. Rabbi Shimon Savar Lakavatei Bechada Upalagalei Bechada. He agreed with him about that Ola Haba Min HaMotarot is a Korban Yachid, but he disagreed with him about the fact that it's Ose Tmura. Okay? He thinks it's an exception, and that all came to explain Rava. Okay? Because that was all Rava's reading of Rabbi Shimon. Because Rava said, and that you could read Rabbi Shimon, that really he meant a Nidvat Yachid. If I say I'm going to bring Korban Ola, maybe there is no Din of Tmura. It's just, Rava couldn't imagine that that was the case. It just doesn't make sense that that would be the case, really. Okay. So now, Palagale Bechada, Rabbi Lezer Savar, Ola Haba Min HaMotarot Oseh Tmura. Here's just an explanation, right? He said it is. And the Iu Savar, but Rabbi Shimon holds Ein Oseh Tmura. He disagrees with him about the Tmura issue. Now, okay, remember our long-winded question of Rabbi Avin, that was either three animals or two animals, and one got lost, and one had a moom, and all that. We're going to go through that again. If that's the case, you should have thought of this if you were connecting things. Rabbi Avin asked a question about an Ola Haba Min HaMotarot, right? And the whole question was, if you remember, according to Rabbi Shimon, by the way, this was all according to Rabbi Shimon, there was a machlok at Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish about Rabbi Shimon. Would he say Ein mimirim b'chozrim mimirim, right? In other words, Rabbi Yochanan held that Rabbi Shimon held, that was the whole Mishnah about what if you did two animals in place of one, and Rabbi Shimon had this opinion, one for one, that's it. So then they asked, what about if you did one for one, and then an hour later, you did another one for the first, you did another substitution to the same original animal, would it work? So there was a machloket. Could you be chozer u'mimir or not? Within the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, who said, Rabbi Shimon would hold Ein Chosrim Mimirim on the same animal. Once you, again, it has to do with weakening the animal. Once you did a substitution, it's as if you weaken the first animal. It's no longer strong enough to do another Tmura. There's only Din of Tmura once. According to that, what if it had this other crazy case, right? Would there be Tmura or not? Now we'll go back into the case. But if you remember, how did we explain the case? It was about an Ola Haba Min HaMotarot. What did we just say? According to Rabbi Shimon, we were trying to explain the Ola Haba Min HaMotarot wouldn't have a Din of Tmura ever. And his whole question, when he came, right, when we explained his question, we said it must be a case of an Ola Haba Min HaMotarot, in which case, if Rabbi Shimon holds, there's no such Tmura ever in that case, it wouldn't be a question of, do we have, is this, okay, we'll get back to the question, but it was all, is this as if we already did Tmura? Is it not as if we did Tmura? But that whole question wouldn't be relevant. So, Ihachi debai Rabbi Avin, when Rabbi Avin asked the question, Hifrish Asham lihit kaperbo, if he took a Korban Asham, an animal for a Korban Asham, and then it got a mum, before it got a mum, himirbo, okay, and he did a substitution, that was the first substitution he did. Then it got a mum, and then he replaced it with another animal, vinit kaperba Asham acher, vinitach zela ola, or the truth is in this case, it's the case I think where it's just the first one got lost. After he did Tmura, the first one got lost. It's actually only two animals in this case. So he took an animal for an asham. He did a Tmura. Then he lost the first animal. Then he found a different animal. Vinitak zela ola. And now that korban, that first original korban, now instead of being an asham, that animal is now a korban ola. Mao sheyachzor v'yamirbo. Right? Would you be able to do Tmura again? Now, this question is a classic Ola Haba Min HaMotarot. That's what it is. So, Aliba Deman. Ilema Aliba De Rabbi Shimon. If you want to say this question is according to Rabbi Shimon HaMart, Rabbi Shimon Sfirale, Ola Haba Min HaMotarot Ein Oset Mura. So, how could that possibly be? So, they explain, Rabbi Avin Hachi Kamibayle. This was his question. אם משכחת תנא דקאי כרבי שמעון דאמר אין ממירים וחוזרים ממירים וספירה לי כרב אליעזר דאמר עולה הבא מן המותרות עושה תמורה מהו שיחזור ויאמיר בו. His question was a conglomeration of שיטות. He was asking if you were to hold like Rabbi Shimon by the Ein Chozrim Memirim case, and you say you can't do Tmura twice on the same animal, and you hold like Rabbi Eliezer, that in Ola, Habam, and Motarot, potentially one could do Tmura on it, there would be an Isra of Tmura, then what would happen in the following case? Is it Bishnei Gufim Kedusha Achat Mai? If you had two different animals with one Kedusha, let's say, right, that was the first thing. If the first animal, got a mum, and you replaced it with the second animal after you already did tmura to the first animal, then, right, both animals have sanctity, different, there's two gufin, there's two different animals, but the same, they're both korban asham, right, because one got a mum, you just replaced it with a korban, with a new animal. Would you be able to, if you did tmura on the second animal, would it be usur, or would it not count as tmura at all, because it's two different animals, even though one's Kedusha came really from the first. It replaced the first. V'imtim tzalomar Kedusha achat. So then, right, if you're going to say, fine, Kedusha achat, look, it's still the same korban. So yes, you know, we would say, you already did tmura, ein mimirim chozrim mimirim. In other words, it wouldn't be counted as tmura here. If you would say that, what would you say? Elashtei Kedusha begufecha amai. What if it was the case with the first animal just got lost? And then it became an Ola because you already sacrificed a second animal and it's dead. And you had already done Tmura on it when it was an Asham. What if you did Tmura on it now when it's an Ola? Would that be counted as Tmura because it's now called something else? And the Gemara ends with Tibai. We don't have an answer. Tibai is like a Teku. It's actually, right, the Yerushalmi. And in this Masechet, it's going to appear a few times, this use of the word Tibai. So again, we actually end with, we don't have an answer to Rabbi Avin's question, but we have an answer to our question. We questioned it using Rabbi Avin. We said, but Rabbi Avin makes no sense according to Rabbi Shimon. We just have to say his question doesn't hold like Rabbi Shimon about the Ola Habam and the Motarot. He would have to say, if you're holding like Rabbi Eliezer, which is obviously somewhat difficult because his whole question was according to Rabbi Shimon himself, but you'd have to say, just like we split before, we said Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Eliezer in one thing and not in another, we could say like this, his question was according to Rabbi Shimon regarding Ein Chozrim Mimirim in that issue, but about the Motarot, the Ola Habam and the Motarot, he'd be holding like Rabbi Eliezer, that you'd be chayv in Tmur, and then the question was, according to that, which makes this question all the more theoretical, right? He's kind of saying if you took all these different shitot, although it's very classic, right? That's like really getting as theoretical as possible and trying to come up with the most creative possible case, you know, what would you say in that case? Okay, Hadron Alach HaKol Mibirim, New Perek tomorrow.